Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Shotgun. Here's the snap. Hand off. No, it's a keeper for Allen. Through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
Once again, Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills with a 30-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Welcome back to hour number two. The final hour of today's Nortown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. As always, our Buffalo Football Victory Monday and every other Buffalo Football Monday Extra Point Show is brought to you by Catholic Health, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Hey, let's get to our Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Really only one significant injury to talk about heading into this week from yesterday. That would be Dalton Kincaid, because he did not finish the game. He was doubtful to return. He was originally questionable to return with a knee injury. Then he had a brace on his knee, went back into the game. Then he came back out of the game, and he didn't play, and he was doubtful and never returned to the game. After the game, he said in the locker room that he tried to give it a go, just couldn't, didn't quite feel right, and he felt he couldn't protect himself. So you totally understand that. Gave more snaps to Dawson Knox, who had a very nice game yesterday. But you hope Dalton Kincaid's ready and available to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. That will be one to monitor throughout this week with Dalton Kincaid and a knee injury. Spencer Brown did have an ankle tape job going on. He twisted his ankle a little bit, went back into the game. He missed a few plays. He wound up going back in the game, so hopefully nothing there. But I'm sure these are guys that maybe the Bills will take a look at this week to see. You know, on Wednesdays now, like last week it was a walkthrough. Maybe that'll be the same this week. It's getting to a long season. They haven't had their bye. That could be the same again this week. We'll see about that. And, of course, the big injuries we're going to be really monitoring this week are the ones to the wide receivers who didn't play yesterday. That is Amari Cooper. That is Keon Coleman. Today, we'll get an update from Sean McDermott a little bit later today on his normal Monday Zoom call. And then if he has any information on that, we'll see where that goes. Usually we don't get too much on Monday. And then Wednesday, obviously, a little bit more of an update as the Bills get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And then that's their last game before the bye. So you wonder if that factors into anything that happens here. And even I'll even throw this out there. At some point here, I think we're going to probably hear about Matt Milano getting his having his window open for practice. Now, with next week being a bye week and less practice, you wonder if they would do that because he wouldn't have as much time on the field. So I wonder if that happens after the bye week, but we'll see. But I think it is something that we have to be aware of here that could wind up happening and putting it on your radar right there. All right. Hopefully you're watching here on the WGR Facebook page. Check it out. It is facebook.com/WGR550. And once again, I'll show everybody. I have my I'm wearing the Buffalo Victory Monday shirt. There we go. We got it on because that's what it is today. It's a Buffalo Victory Monday, 30-20 over the Indianapolis Colts. I am live here at KeyBank Center because we have a Sabres game going on today on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Sabres taking on the Montreal Canadiens here today. Sabres are hot. They've won three in a row. Really nice win. They a game that they had in hand against the Calgary Flames, had a 2-0 lead, give up the 2-0 lead, have to hold on, excuse me, to get to overtime. And then in overtime, a couple chances each way, they wound up going to a shootout. Sabres get the 2 points. You don't worry about getting to overtime with a Western Conference team giving up the extra point, but you still want to close that game out. It's so funny. I thought yesterday a lot during the Bills game how much it reminded me of the Sabres game. You got to grind out a win. You have a lead, you give it up, you still have to come back, you grind out the win, and that's exactly what the Sabres did against the Calgary Flames. So now, real quickly here, they take on a Montreal Canadiens team, which is below them in the standings with only 10 points. They're 4-9-2. Sabres sit at 7-7-1, 15 points, a chance to jump the Boston Bruins today in the standings if they were to win today and get to 8-7-1. That would be nice. All right, we have that game coming up for you at 12:30. We have this show up until 12 o'clock, and then it's Sabres pregame with Brian Koziol. Let's get to Josh in Williamsville. Hi, Josh. Thanks for holding. You're in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So just two things real quick. First off, you just kind of mentioned it, Sabres three-game winning streak. I just want to say it's a good day to enjoy being a Buffalo sports fan.
Yeah.
Bills are 8-2. Sabres are playing today on that three-game win streak. And then not to forget, our UB Bulls play tomorrow with a chance to become bowl eligible.
Hey, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that. Thank you. And, of course, you can always hear those games on the Bet 1520 because it's been a nice season for Pete Lembo and the UB Bulls for sure.
Absolutely. And then real quick, I just want to kind of go back to Curtis Samuel. I kind of liked how they did get him involved pretty early on. It almost seemed like, you know, they kind of heard that criticism and let's get him involved pretty early. But then it did seem like he definitely slowed down. From what you were able to see, do you think that was them kind of more focusing on him, or was he just not making the plays? That was just kind of my question. And then I'm going to the game this weekend. Super excited. Haven't been to a Bills game in 9 years, so really looking forward to it. Thanks, Dale.
Yeah, you got it. I'm Curtis Samuel. I thought what happened was, Josh, the Bills did a nice job to have designed plays for him early in the game. Very intentional to get him involved in the game. As the game flow starts to go on, you don't get as much of that as you do those scripted plays early, and that's when it becomes, okay, Josh is looking for somebody. There's Curtis Samuel. What? It didn't quite work out. I don't know why that hasn't meshed the way it has. Maybe that gets him jump-started, having those few catches under his belt from yesterday. But as the game goes on, you're not getting those intentional plays to him, those design plays to him, those scripted plays to him. I thought that was very, very helpful for Curtis Samuel and Josh Allen. And look, he was available on one play where Josh skipped it, right? It was Josh rolling out to his left, threw the ball. Maybe if he can set his feet a little bit better, he gets it to Curtis Samuel. So hopefully that helps him going forward. They're going to need him because right now they're really banged up at wide receiver, as you know. Thanks for the call, Josh. We'll get to Brian and Arcade next up. Hi, Brian. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. So I think that caller a couple times ago, I think he brought up a good point. And it's not so much Samuel and MVS versus who you could have had, I guess, yeah, on the roster. To me, it's the Bills' organizational philosophy to only keep five wide receivers that continues to bite them. This has happened 2 or 3 years in a row. And when you're bringing in older street free agents, Jamison Crowder, Deontay Hardy, Trent Sherfield, yeah, they're going to struggle to stay healthy. If that's rounding out your receiver core and you have one injury, those guys got to play. And if they get healthy, now you're back to practice squatter. So effectively, the Bills have traded Jalen Virgil for MVS. Whatever you think of MVS, he's had a better career than Jalen Virgil is ever going to have. So to me, organizationally, the Bills didn't come out ahead here. It doesn't seem, especially if you give in the fact that MVS had a guaranteed contract. You're not saving money. So they put themselves in this razor-thin position continuously. This has happened numerous years in a row. And what it tells me, basically, it beats down the horse that we've all talked about forever. They've got to invest more in the position. They've got to get younger. They've got to get faster. And they've got to develop from within. Because you're bringing in Curtis Samuel. You're bringing in Deontay Hardy, Sherfield. We can all go through Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie off of waivers. These guys kind of float around in these nebulous roles, catching little plays out of the backfield. There's no chemistry to MVS. I mean, they did it again this year. Cephas out of training camp. They couldn't get Claypool on the active roster because he got hurt. Well, none of those guys at the end of the roster can help you, and now you're into practice squatter. So to me, it's a choice that the Bills continuously and actively make when you go through year by year being 2018 through 2024. Where does he draft wide receivers? Coleman's the highest. Then it's Gabe Davis, and then it's all fifth, sixth, seventh rounders. Austin Prohl. I mean, you can go through the record. They don't invest in the position, and this is what you get.
Okay, so let me.
You
I think it's a great.
That can't help you.
So I think it's a great debate and discussion and talking point, and I think you bring up some good points. I will point out. So I just looked as you were talking. Do you know how many receivers the Chiefs have on their active roster?
Yeah, four or five.
They have five.
Two of them got hurt.
They have five. Do you know how many the Eagles have?
They have five. Two superstars.
They have five, and so I get it. So the issue is this. I think the organization
traded for Doxon.
Hold on, but they still have five, right? So you because you said the numbers. You're talking about the numbers.
The Chiefs have six on opening day.
Right. Okay, I get it. But they only have five now because of injuries, and that's obviously where the Bills are. But here's the issue. And you're not wrong. I get it. Like, it's a great debate.
Okay.
The issue is if you're going to be a bottom-end receiver – they have no problem. They've kept six in the past, but that six has to help on special teams, and maybe that would be where your issue would come in, where because the Bills can choose to say, well, we're going to keep an extra DB or an extra linebacker. They're heavy at linebacker this year a little bit because I think that those guys, they feel because of the new kickoff rules, are a little bit help more, you know, they help on special teams. I do think you make a great point about the investment in the position in the draft, drafting them higher, but let's remember, they drafted Keon Coleman with the first pick of the second round. It was their first pick last year. They drafted Dalton Kincaid as a pass catcher the year before. So I do think they've made a little bit more investment in that regard. They do have an organizational philosophy, though, of not paying these guys super high money because when you're paying your quarterback and other people around your roster, it gets a little bit more challenging, you know? So I don't know. It's a tough balance. I don't know. I get it. I get what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily. I just think it's a tough balance, and there's a lot of ways to go about it. And other teams do this, too, or are very successful.
Yeah, it's balanced, but it's also – the other thing it points to is across multiple coordinators, the Bills don't develop these small, fast guys. So when you get to Samuel as well, like he got thrown in a bucket to me like Nyheim Hines did. You traded for Nyheim Hines. He got 11 touches, total touches, after the Bills traded for him. He fell into a nothing role. Samuel's in a nothing role. And if fans looked, I mean, look at his yards per target across multiple coordinators, different teams. It just keeps going down. His ADOT has gone down every single year in his career. This is how NFL coordinators see how to use him now. Well, he's really only a gadget guy. If he was more effective, he would be on the field.
Yeah, but I wonder if this is more about Samuel, though, because – I wonder if this is more about Samuel, though, because – Joe Brady used him effectively in 2020 in his best year as a pro. For some reason, that's not translating. I get that you're going to have a little bit of a different, you know, philosophy with Josh Allen at quarterback and a different team now and under the head coach's direction, whatever, however you want to say that. But I just wonder if it's more about Samuel. That's what I scratch my head about this, because this coordinator was in charge when he had his best year as in his career.
Yeah, but he was four. You know, that was 4 or 5 years ago. He was younger. He's 28 now.
Yeah, he's still young.
He's not as scary as he used to be. He's always been kind of a hybrid running back, wide receiver. He's harder to get the ball to. You have to scheme him open. And if he's not going to get priority, he's not going to get priority over Coleman. He's not going to get priority over Cooper now. Even Matt Collins you can keep on the field because he blocks. He's just, to me, he gets afterthought
Sale. Yeah, one thing I'll tell you is I think they developed Khalil Shakir pretty well.
Yeah, but he could play right away. This is my thing with Khalil Shakir. Yes, you and the WGR, you talk about this like, oh, he's earned his role. No, he was good right away. Late game Ravens as a rookie, he caught two huge balls in that game. He caught a touchdown against the Steelers. He just had no opportunity because Gabe Davis had to be on the field the whole time. He had to play behind Crowder. He was good right away. I am convinced that if you would put him ahead of McKenzie and Crowder right away, Khalil Shakir would be the same type player.
You have to give a little credit for developing
really
him to this, too. You can be convinced of that, and that's fine, but you still have to give credit to developing if you're not going to give credit to the other ones being developed.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right? Am I right? I'm just trying to have a discussion, right?
He's a fifth-round pick, but he's as good.
Right.
He actually had pedigree in college. He's not Justin Shorter.
Okay.
Who was a flame out of high school. Yeah, drafted him in the same round, but to play special teams. But, yeah, he can't actually help you. He has hips as tight as a bear vise. So it's not the same thing.
All right, I'm not trying to upset you. I just think you have to look at it both ways. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? All right, have a good day. Thank you. Appreciate it. Here on the North Tunnel, I'm just trying to work through the discussion. I don't know. He's getting upset about it for whatever. I mean, you know, you're right. I agree with you. They have not made the investment, but don't tell me they haven't developed anybody. And then Khalil Shakir comes on the scene his third year, and he's having the year he's having, and then not give him credit for developing because he did. But you're right. The organizational philosophy, 100% right about that, Brian, that you can – if you want to push back and say – the organizational philosophy is not right where it is with wide receivers, I'm totally open to that with, hey, they're in a situation now where they painted themselves in this corner. 100% agree with you, buddy. I do. But I also want to give credit to, hey, they've done a good job with Khalil Shakir. And, yeah, maybe he was ready to play. Maybe. I mean, he didn't play much as early on because he didn't have opportunity. I get that. No doubt about it. I'm also not convinced he would be great if he played. But, you know, so either way, however you want to look at it. It's fine. I don't know. You're getting upset there. You don't have to. It's a Buffalo Victory Football Monday, buddy. And the Bills won. And the Sabres are playing today on a 3-game winning streak. Let's go to Michael in Atlanta. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sal. Great to talk to you again. Yes.
You got it.
Let's celebrate the victory.
It's all good. It's all good. I mean, I wasn't trying to get anybody upset, but he was upset, so it's okay.
Oh, no, I get it. But three things real quick, if I could. And one of them, we're talking about players and player development. I mean, kudos to the Bills and Sean McDermott and the whole staff with the next man up, not just with the receiving core. And, you know, we saw Hollins has had they've asked more of him the last couple of weeks. He performed. He's ready. But also, I was pretty impressed yesterday when Spencer Brown went out. And I forgot who it was, Vandermark.
Ryan Vandermark. He had a great block on Khalil Shakir's screen.
I mean, comes right in off the bench, ready to go. So let's look at that side of it. You know, if every team did everything perfectly, you'd have undefeated teams every year. There'd be a couple, and there's not. Because there's, you know, you have to, it's a little give and take. But they have their players prepared, number one. Number two, want to talk about Josh Allen. A couple picks yesterday, a week before. Do you think that some of this has to do with the change in personnel? Does that affect some of the chemistry?
Oh, for sure. Yesterday, Josh got to the stadium a little bit earlier than normal. You know, a lot of the media noted that he was on one of the earlier buses that get there because the players take different buses. And I don't know for sure. I think that this might have been him wanting to get on the field a little bit earlier with these guys and working, because when you have changes like that, you definitely want to make sure. And it does impact it, especially as you go throughout the week and you're not sure who's going to be available, who's not. And these guys are working through injuries. There's no doubt about that, Michael.
That's the only common denominator that I see. All of a sudden he's thrown some picks where he wasn't early on. It's, you know, when he had his whole receiving core intact. So yeah, that's good. That's good to know. Then hopefully we'll get everyone back and a little bit more continuity. And the last thing was, and you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I did talk to you about it last week, and I got to bring it up again. I still think there's got to be some kind of a overall review board when there are such blatant missed penalties. You know, I can go all the way back to last year of Philadelphia when Josh Allen gets horse collared. Throws the ball as he's getting horse collared, and he gets the penalty thrown on him for intentional grounding. I mean, his shoulder pads are coming out of his jersey, and right in front of the official, no flag. And yesterday, right? I'm sure you saw it or heard about it when he ran for that first down. He had a defensive lineman punching him in the side of the head.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be something done about that, Sal. You know, I know sometimes there's every touchdown's reviewed or what. I'm not saying you can't review every single play, but when something is so blatant and there's an officiating committee or watching this game, something has to be done, because my gosh, that was completely ridiculous that there wasn't a flag thrown on that play. And when Josh slid and then he was hit late, I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that stuff this morning because it certainly mattered yesterday. You know, it could have mattered yesterday to Josh Allen's health, and they didn't throw the flags on any. I thought you getting ridden out of bounds on the touchdown, getting punched, getting hit late, for sure. And you're supposed to be protecting these quarterbacks, and we didn't see that.
Yeah, there's got to be some next level so this doesn't continually happen, because again, it's gonna. You know, it's like there's no deterrent at times. You know, you flag that guy or throw. I actually would, if I was an official, for throwing punches like that in the side of the head, I would have thrown him out. Thrown him out of the game.
All right, listen, Mike, I got to go. I got some more calls I got to get to real quickly here because I want to do that. Let's go to Patty in North Tonawanda. Hi, Patty. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I'm the Bills Mafia sister and friends with Lorenzo. We've met several times.
Hi,
I'm driving back with my sister. Hi, I'm driving back with my sister from Indianapolis. We stopped in Erie overnight. It's about almost 2 in the morning when we got in. So I just wanted to say that a couple things really quickly. Shout out to the Colts fans. I actually went to the game by myself. I had my a single seat, and I sat next to some Colts fans. But you know what? Shout out to the Bills Mafia, too. The fans got along. Everybody was just so cordial with each other. it was wonderful to see that fans, yes, were AFC divisional, or not divisional, but were rivals in the AFC, and yet we can still all get along. And so many Colts fans said, we are rooting for you to beat the Chiefs. We are on your side. You can count on us. And it was a really great feeling. But wonderful shout out to the Bills Mafia. I was in Seattle 2 weeks ago. That was an incredible takeover, and I expect nothing less, you know, moving forward with future road games. I also want to give a shout out to Jordan Phillips and his return. What he was doing to fire up the crowd was just incredible. And sure, maybe he's not, you know, the number one best player, but he certainly brings the energy. And I saw it on the bench. You were closer than I was, of course, but he really brought back the energy that he did when he was here before. And I'm excited to see what he's going to bring against the Chiefs.
Thanks a lot,
one last
Patty.
Question for, yeah, go ahead. One question yeah, yeah. for you. Mm-hmm. Who do you know who the referee staff is going to be for this game coming up? And it better not be Buckley.
I don't have that yet. I'll have that probably tomorrow afternoon.
All right, because if it's Hockley's team, we're in trouble.
All right.
I was thinking about that today.
Thanks, Patty. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll check on that. I was going to run through the league, but you know what? We got some more phone calls lined up, so let's get to a couple more of them real quickly here before we head to the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Jeff in Hamburg. Hi, Jeff. You're on WGR.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to talk about this game coming up here with Kansas City. I don't see why... I don't want us going full out in this, because this is a game, as far as I'm concerned, really doesn't matter. The only game that matters with Kansas City is the playoffs, and I'd hate to see us putting out too much effort and getting our players injured. What do you think about that?
I think that's – I completely disagree. You're just going to wave the white flag to not get guys injured against the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, I'm not saying to throw out the white flag. I mean, I'd still like to see them beat it. I just don't want to see where
it's a game. It's a game. You go out there and you play it. I mean, that's that. No, I mean, you go out there and you play it. Of course, you want to get through every game without injuries, but if you could say, hey, if you lose to the Chiefs, there's no shame in that. You still have a great lead in the division. I understand that for sure, Jeff. I mean, it's not like super critical. Although if you beat them, you could have still a chance to get the one seed. That would matter. I understand that. But you play this game to win the game like you do every other game.
Well, correct. I'm not going to argue. I'm not arguing that point at all. My only point that I've got is just don't go out and put the rest of our season at risk for just.
You mean some guys who are banged up?
You got bragging rights for it, you know?
Yeah, if you're saying like guys that are banged up, maybe give them an extra week because of the bye week. I mean, you might want to err on the side of caution. I understand that, but sorry, I misinterpreted what you were saying and when you first called it. Maybe they should just like, hey, don't get Josh hurt. Don't put him out there or something like that. So I got you, buddy.
No, you can't. You got to have all these players play. Like you said, if they're a little bit hurt or banged up or anything, I mean, you don't need to be forcing them out there. Give them the extra week or the extra 2 weeks in order to come out so we can keep our season going. And as far as the number one seed, it proved the other was it last year or the year before? I forgot. We had Kansas City here in our stadium for the playoffs, and we lost to them.
Yeah, no doubt. But, hey, look, I mean – you still would rather play home than away, right, in the playoffs, wouldn't you? Right, no matter what?
Oh, absolutely.
So seeding still matters in that regard. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Real quickly, Brad in Orchard Park. Let's get to you, and we'll wrap up the half hour here. Go ahead, Brad. Oh, Brad dropped. All right. You know what? We're going to take a timeout then. We'll come back. All right, the gates have opened here at KeyBank Center because I see a lot of Canadians red in the arena already. That's what happens here to Montreal on a holiday weekend here in the States. Montreal fans, Canadian fans coming in, Sabres fans filing in as well. We are down here at KeyBank Center. We have a half hour left of the Extra Point Show, and then we're going to hand it off to Brian Cozio and the Sabres Radio Network. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
Back to pass. Has to roll away from pressure again. Rolling out to his right. Throws as he's got Mac Hollins at the 32-yard line complete, and he alertly runs out of bounds with 8 seconds left.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, Couches, Stories, Grandma's Secret Pecan Pie Recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's Family Carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, told you that this is a small picture, big picture kind of show. We talked about the small picture and the game yesterday. Thanks a lot. I feel bad, man. Brian called up. He made some great points. And that's what this show's about, though, Brian. It's all good, buddy. You're free to call back anytime. We can have the discussion. And I, by the way, Brian, if you're still listening to Arcade, I 100% agree with you that you can have this. Like, the way they approach the wide receiver position is very much a discussion point and debate, no doubt about it. That was the big picture of, like, when he called up and said it's more of a philosophy or organizational philosophy. And I'll be the first to tell you, they just don't want to spend. I mean, they didn't want to spend, you know, whatever, $20+ million on Stephon Diggs. At some point, they're going to have to either spend that kind of money in a free agent or use even higher assets to bring younger guys in. But I'll still push back that I think they've done a nice job of developing Khalil Shakir, although I agree that he probably could have played and done a nice job early in his career. There's still a learning curve. I mean, Taron Johnson said a few weeks ago, he said it wasn't until his third year in that he really felt comfortable playing at this level, at the NFL level, and look what he's doing now. So I do think you have to give some space for the fact that they've done that. But, yeah, I mean, that's just one guy, and they haven't had an opportunity, I guess, to develop a lot of those younger, smaller, faster guys, like you say, because it's not just because it goes hand-in-hand with the philosophy of not drafting them early on. But anyway, Brian, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And that's what this show is about. We always appreciate the phone calls at 803-0550. All right, I told you it's a big picture kind of day as well. Let's look at where the Bills are now in the standings. 8-2 for the first time in 31 years. I think that's remarkable. 1993 was the last time the Buffalo Bills were 8-2. And with that 8-2 record, they are now, what, 5 games up on the New York Jets, who yesterday lost to the Arizona Cardinals. The New York Jets are definitely not a not having the season that people thought they would. At one point, they were the actual favorites to win the AFC East. 31-6, the Cardinals. By the way, we're having a nice season, and I think playing better than people anticipated at this point. Not going to go through every single game in the league, but we all know the ones that mattered yesterday to the Buffalo Bills, including the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Denver Broncos 16-14 on a walk-off blocked field goal attempt as the Broncos. It was a chip shot, basically. The Steelers, I'm going to take them a little seriously now, as Joe DiBiase said today, Sneaky Joe, and I think that's right. 28-27 over the Washington Commanders. They come back late. The Commanders, they did a nice job of the Commanders' offense, but yet the Commanders' offense still was able to squeeze 27 points and get to 27. Steelers now at 7-2. That AFC North is a bear. It really is. You can look at the AFC East and say, worst division in football. Maybe it is, considering Jets, Patriots, Dolphins. Look at the AFC North. Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, Browns pulling up the rear, but I mean, even them, they're a tough out with their defense, the way they can play sometimes. But either way, Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals especially at 7-2, 7-3, 4-6 for the Bengals after their loss to the Ravens on Thursday Night Football this past week. Elsewhere, a couple other games that mattered to the Bills yesterday, the Chargers and the AFC go to 6-3. Now, could the Chargers possibly, you know, beat the Chiefs when they play on a night game Sunday night in Kansas City, December 8th? Maybe. I think that their defense is good enough to be able to kind of hold them in it, but we'll see. But the Chargers, in the meantime, 6-3 in the AFC West. They beat the Titans 27-17. And then last night, holy cow, the Houston Texans blow a lead, 23-3 they're up. Jared Goff throws 5 picks, and the Lions win. You remember the Monday night game where Tony Romo threw five picks and the Dallas Cowboys still beat the Bills? It had so many of those same feels with how they came back in that game. The Lions win 26-23, knocking the Texans down to 6-4. The Texans still get frustrated by them beating the Bills and how they beat the Bills and how that game went, because I just don't I don't think they're necessarily – they're a good team. C.J. Stroud is good, but I don't think they're the level of these elite teams in the AFC, and I do consider the Bills among one of those teams. AFC race right now overall, you're looking at Kansas City with the one seed. That's not going to change no matter what happens next week, even if the Bills beat them. Bills with the two seed, Pittsburgh as the north leader at the three seed, Texans with the four seed as the south leader, and then it's Ravens, Chargers, Broncos in the 5-6-7 wild card spots. All right, let's get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, can we sit up? You got to sit up right now on the New England Patriots maybe being a tougher out than they originally seemed. I'm not saying they're going to come into Buffalo and win or beat the Bills at their place, but they're not playing bad football. Two of their last three games they've won, they've beaten the Jets and the Bears now over the last couple of weeks. They do have the Rams, the Dolphins coming up, we'll see. They don't play the Bills until late December, two out of three games. But I think that they're a tougher out than a lot of people are giving them credit for right now, the New England Patriots. And as much as it seemed like, oh my God, Bills walk over, maybe the Bills just trounce them, I don't know. But defensively, they've allowed 3 points. They allowed 3 points yesterday, 20 points to the Titans, 22 to the Jets. They're playing a little bit better defensively. I'm going to sit up on the New England Patriots being a maybe tougher out than a lot of us thought they would be. Standing down, I don't know. We can go so many ways on standing down this week. How about standing down on the Panthers having the number one overall pick where it looked like they would? Let me tell you right now where the NFL draft is headed as far as top picks. You know where the Panthers are after yesterday's win? Let me see. Let me find them down here. Hold on. Carolina Panthers, 10th. They're picking 10th after they were number one for weeks and weeks. The Jacksonville Jaguars would have the number one pick in the draft right now. Then it's the Giants, then the Titans, then the Browns, then the Vegas Raiders. Miami right there in that list. If they lose tonight, the Miami Dolphins would be in that group. Right now they would hold the number six pick. Speaking of Miami, they play tonight against the L.A. Rams. Interesting game. I want to see if how good the Rams are tonight, because I think the Dolphins are still trying to fight for their season. We'll see if Tyreek Hill plays in this game. I don't know if there's been any reports on that. We'll see how good maybe the Rams are tonight. The 4-4 Rams getting healthy again. Do they just blow the Dolphins away in L.A.? Because then I'm like, ooh, that Bills-Rams game looks really tough right now. Or do the Dolphins go in there and show, yeah, you know what? We can hang with the Rams. We can beat them even if the Dolphins win. I kind of feel a little bit better about the Bills and Rams situation, because I think that is a very interesting game for me right now to look at and going forward. All right, let's get to my buddy. Who's my buddy this week?
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
I am blown away whenever I go to a road city and see so many Bills Mafia out and about. But man, Indy, you guys crushed it. And I just want to say, make my buddy, all the people that said hello when I went downtown to hang out with the fans of Buffalo Party at Tin Roof downtown. So many of you are just so gracious and awesome to come up and say hi and say you listen to WGR. You listen to the Extra Point Show. You listen to the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo. Meet Matt Bove. So cool to see so many people out there and taking pictures with people and celebrating a great time to come together. Buffalo is... Bills Mafia truly is. It truly is a family that people see out there. But thank you so much to all of you who welcome me into your lives every day. I just want to say it's amazing to me. I'm so blessed and privileged to kind of be in this position to talk about the Bills, do what I want for a living and what I've loved to do my whole life and wanted to do. But to be able to see that response from people, had a great time at Tin Roof downtown Saturday night. Went out there, had a nice dinner. Went out, said, you know what, I'm gonna hit the fans of Buffalo Party at Tin Roof downtown, and you guys brought it, and you were so awesome, and there were so many other places and parties that were going on, but you're my buddies this week, Bills Mafia, and you showed up yesterday. Check it out, the video I posted at Sal Sports from yesterday at the end of the game on the field and the crowd, I should say, just cheering on their Bills, their Buffalo Bills. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Brian Coles is going to join me to hand it off to Sabres pregame. We'll talk about that game and wrap up the Bills beating the Colts 30-20 yesterday in Indy. Fans are filing into KeyBank Center. A lot of Montreal red. Typical for the Montreal Canadiens to come into town, but this is not a really great Montreal Canadiens team taking on the Buffalo Sabres today. We're going to have pregame coverage coming at you at noon. Brian is on his way here. A little more traffic than usual on this holiday, on a Veterans Day. And Brian will get up here in the booth shortly, but if we don't have him, that's fine. We'll just keep things rolling on here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and hand it off to him for pregame beginning at noon, which is going to happen at the top of the hour. Sabres take on the Montreal Canadiens. Like I said, let me just get you those standings again, because Sabres are on a three-game winning streak, and they're welcoming in a team that is behind them in the standings. As it stands right now, the Sabres are tied for the wild card, basically. 15 points for Tampa. So the Rangers at 19, then Tampa, the Lightning, the Sabres, the Islanders, all at 15. But if you take a look at the Atlantic Division, the Sabres can win this game and jump the Boston Bruins. Do the Bruins play today? Let's see the schedule today. I will take a look. Let's see if I can grab that for you. Not sure. Let's see if the Bruins play today, because obviously if the Sabres win and, you know, you get a Bruins loss, then, you know, we'll see. All right, so Sabres take on the Montreal Canadiens today, and the... looks like, I believe, Samuelson is returning to the lineup. We'll see if that means. I don't know exactly what the scratch is here. I'm just kind of trying to piece together everything that's going on here today. And it looks like maybe is who's going to be coming out. Would that be, would that be Gilbert coming out? I'm going to get all this information from Paul and Brian who are coming aboard. In the meantime, hey, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's a Buffalo Football Victory Monday presented by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. All right, let's take a look at the next game for the Buffalo Bills. Of course, that is going to be against the Kansas City Chiefs. And our Lake Hour look ahead, brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Now look, I just told you, my buddy was Bills Mafia out at Tin Roof. I was out there on Saturday night, and I was there, and I'm telling you this, you guys know, you listen, because someone said to me, hey, can I get you a seltzer? I know you don't love drinking beer. I said, that's right. Thanks for listening. I appreciate that. That's exactly what the case was. So thanks a lot for that, because that's what I tell you every week when I get to the Lake Hour look ahead. I'm not a big beer drinker. I like my seltzers. That's exactly what Lake Hour is. Now remember, Lake Hour, brought to you by Rich Pete, who's a big Bills fan, and Wyatt Russell, the son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. We've had him here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Go to lakehour.com. Check out these flavors. Watermelon cucumber, rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysuckle ginger. They're fantastic. It's still the fall is elite season right now. Out at the lake, drinking this stuff, thinking about the Bills taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Folks, this is a big one. Yes, we'd love for the Bills to have an opportunity to grab the one seed, and I wanted that to happen. I wanted the Broncos to beat the Chiefs yesterday. Walk-off field goal, winds up getting blocked. That's not what happens. In the meantime, the Chiefs now 9-0. They come to Buffalo. This is probably the game of the week in the NFL next week. Take a look around. What's happening next week? Thursday night, Commanders-Eagles is a really good game. 7-3 against 7-2, right? You have, who else? Ravens-Steelers next week is a big game in the AFC North. But there it is in the 425 window, national game. I'm guessing it's going to be Nance Romo and Tracy Wolfson next week. For the first time this year, the Bills will get the number one announcing team. That's my guess. Haven't heard officially yet. Kansas City at Buffalo next week. I'm sure it's out there. I just don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure that's the case. Kansas City at Buffalo, 9-0 against 8-2. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, the fans of the Chiefs, they're probably thinking to yourself that you have to – you're going to be, if you keep playing the way you have, you're going to lose to the Buffalo Bills. We'll see next week. Should be a fantastic game, one of the games of the week. That is our Lake Hour look ahead, brought to you by Lake Hour premium vodka and hard seltzers. Pick them up today at your favorite local liquor store. Brian Colesio for just a few minutes before the Sabres take on the Montreal Canadiens. We have a little lineup shuffle. So it looks like Samuelson back into the lineup for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, I think that there was going to be a spot to maybe get one of those guys back in there after the last game, and that kind of makes sense in this situation. The fact that he was originally there was maybe this hesitation to scratch him initially, Sal. I think a lot of it maybe had to do, hey, we gave him a letter. He wore an A.
Yep.
Was that going to be something that he wanted to set a precedence for? And the fact that it went, in some ways, really well. The Sabres played three outstanding games. The players that filled in for them, for the most part there, between Bryson and Gilbert, handled themselves well. Now, Gilbert struggled in the last game, took those three penalties. So that kind of opened up the door. Also, Bo Byram played over 32 minutes in that last game on Saturday against Calgary. And Lindy said, hey, some of the D were struggling a little. I didn't really like how they played. So that kind of opened up the door here to get him back into the lineup. I mean, for what he can bring when he brings his best game, he should be in the lineup.
Is Dennis Gilbert scratch? Who's the scratch?
That's what we're thinking because of the penalties and things
You're
like
right,
that. So
yeah.
We're going to confirm that coming up here, maybe, I don't know, less than 10 minutes or so here when they come out for warm-ups.
Do we know who's in goal tonight, today yet?
So we're expecting it should be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, yes.
Okay, wow. So a little surprise to me. I thought Devin Levi would get one of these games, but UPL's been playing so well, and he's at his best when he's playing a lot.
Yeah, I think one thing that we saw from last year is that he was able to handle the workload, Sal, really, really well. So that piece of it, I think Lindy Ruff has always liked in his career when he's had like a quote number one goalie to ride them and let them play quite a bit. So I think because the days are spaced out well enough here, no travel. You had an afternoon game on a Saturday, an afternoon game today, and then they don't play for another 2.5 days until Thursday night. So if you want to keep going with him, you can. Next week, they've got back-to-back games on a Friday, Saturday. The following week, they have back-to-back games on a Friday, Saturday. But, like, Devin Levi should maybe play, I would think, once more in there before. You don't want to have him sit another 2 weeks. Then we go back to the discussion of should he be in Rochester playing every game then at that point.
I was just going through the standings real quick, Brian. A big game for the Sabres. They can literally jump into a playoff spot right now.
Yes. And in fact, they could go up to third, solo third in this.
I mean, they're tied
tonight
for a wild card spot. Yes, they could go jump the Atlantic Division, jump the Boston Bruins with a win today, which would be outstanding, obviously.
Yeah, to jump to just to see that visually, I think, for the team is something really, really nice. Yeah, Boston comes in 16, Sabres with 15. The Bruins do not play today. They've played one more game,
okay.
So the game in
last
hand
minute of play in the show.
In so I think an opportunity today, too. Montreal, on paper, they're one of the worst teams in the NHL. So the opportunity is there today for Buffalo, obviously, to move into that spot.
All right, what do you got, guys? What do you got going on pregame today? A little shorter pregame than normal.
Yeah, just 12 to 12:30. We're going to hear from Lindy Ruff. Pat Mullicaro is going to join me here to start in a second to kind of set the scene on today. Paul Hamilton later with his keys to the game. And we'll be monitoring warm-ups to confirm who's in and who's out. But with Samuelson coming back in, I would think all signs there would point to Dennis Gilbert, unless there's an injury or a fatigue piece that we're unaware of coming from the Calgary game the other day.
A lot of red in the stands. That's typical for Montreal. Yep. It's also a holiday, so if you're in the States and you're a Canadiens fan, Montreal fan, grow up, something like that, you're going to come to a game like today. But I like the Sabres' chances to quiet this crowd today, the way the Sabres are playing, the way the Montreal Canadiens are playing.
We'll see less Canadiens fans here. They'll still be here as we're seeing them by warm-ups already. But because it's a work day, you know, for Canada,
have a great show.
It will be a little less. Thanks.
You got it. All right. Sabres coming up at 12:30 p.m. Enjoy it. Thank you to all of our veterans out there as well. We salute you.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.